السلام علیکم اسٹوڈینٹس، آپ کو منسٹری آف سائنس اینڈ ٹیکنالوجی پاکستان، ورچوئل یونیورسٹی اور مبشر ہمایوں کی طرف سے خوش آمدید. ویلکم ٹو اندر لیکچر ان فائنینشیل مینجمنٹ. ان دس لیکچر وی آر گوئنگ ٹو کنٹینیو آور ڈسکشن آن پورٹ فولیو رسک. وی ول ٹیک اے لک ایٹ دی اسٹینڈرڈ ڈیویشن فارمولاز فار دا پورٹ فولیو ان ڈیٹیل، اینڈ وی ول آلسو اسٹڈی وٹ از نون ایز دی ایفیشنٹ فرنٹیئر اور دی ایفیشنٹ پورٹ فولیو میپس. تو جس سے پہلے کہ میں نئے مٹیریل میں جاؤں، پچھلے لیکچر کا خلاصہ پیش کرتا ہوں. وی ٹاکڈ اباؤٹ دی کمپیوٹیشن آف پورٹ فولیو رسک اینڈ ریٹرن. دا فرسٹ تھنگ دیٹ آئی مینشن واز دیٹ اے پورٹ فولیو از اے کلیکشن آف many different investments. So we are talking about investment in shares, and a portfolio contains investment in different kinds of shares. We mentioned that individuals and companies maintain portfolios because by maintaining a portfolio they can reduce the level of risk. We mentioned that the total risk of a share can be subdivided in terms of a market risk plus a company-specific risk. So the company-specific risk is also known as the unique or diversifiable risk. It can be diversified. Rather, this company-specific risk can be reduced by means of diversification. Diversification means expanding the number of investments to cover different kinds of stocks in different industries and different sectors and different companies. And we can reduce the company-specific risk because the random events in the life of one company can be offset by the random events in the other direction in the life of other companies whose stocks you have invested in. So the net result becomes zero, and you can reduce, if not eliminate, the company-specific or unique risk. The other component of risk is the market risk, and that arises because of macroeconomic or large-scale factors such as market interest rate and inflation, or socio-political factors or war, and these factors have a virtually identical effect on share prices. For example, in the event of a war, the stock markets go down in value, and that means that almost every share, the value of almost every share will drop. So this is why it's not possible to reduce market risk. Market risk, we say, cannot be diversified. We mentioned that the overall objective in portfolio management is to maximize the portfolio return and to minimize the portfolio risk. How do we calculate the portfolio expected rate of return? Quite simply, using the weighted average formula. The portfolio return, or RP star, is equal to X1 R1 plus X2 R2 plus X3 R3 and so on, where 1, 2 and 3 represents the first, second and third investments. X represents the fraction of the total value that has been invested in investment 1, and R sub 1 refers to the expected rate of return from investment 1. So the portfolio expected return formula is quite straightforward weighted mean that you have probably seen before in statistics. However, the standard deviation formula, which we use to calculate the portfolio risk, is a bit more complicated because it is not a simple weighted average. We have only taken a look so far at the risk for a two-stock portfolio where you have invested in only two different shares. And the formula for the portfolio risk for two stocks, sigma P is equal to the square root of XA squared sigma A squared plus XB squared sigma B squared plus 2 multiplied by XA XB sigma A sigma B rho AB. Here the sigma A refers to the standard deviation of stock A, RA refers to the rate of return on stock A, and rho AB is the correlation coefficient between stocks A and B. In other words, how closely do the prices or the returns of the two stocks move together? And if they move perfectly and exactly together, then we say that the correlation coefficient is equal to plus 1.0. So we mentioned that the risk of investing in any one share can be reduced if we invest in other shares also. There have been several experimental studies that show that if you invest in approximately 40 different uncorrelated different shares of different companies in different industrial and service sectors, then you can almost entirely eliminate the company-specific portion of the risk. Even if you cannot diversify across 40 different shares, but if you can diversify across just 7 different shares from different industries and sectors, then you can still reduce most of the company-specific portion of the total risk. However, we mentioned that the total risk is equal to the diversifiable or company risk plus the market risk. And no matter what we do, we cannot eliminate the market risk. That market risk becomes the minimal risk that we have to live with in our portfolio. The important thing then to understand is how this risk is affected when we are talking about a portfolio of two stocks or more. If you take a look at the portfolio risk formula for standard deviation, sigma P, then you will note that there is a rho AB term, which is the correlation coefficient. The correlation coefficient needs to be studied and understood. For the purposes of understanding risk and return, I will go over some of the statistical concepts behind the correlation coefficient. If you take a look at the correlation coefficient for a two-stock portfolio, and we talk about rho AB, if rho AB is equal to plus 1.0, then we say that the two stocks A and B are perfectly and positively correlated. This means that if the return or the price of stock A rises by 10% in 1 year, then the rate of return or the price of stock B will also rise by 10% in 1 year. Similarly, if the price of stock A goes down by 20%, then the price of stock B will also go down by 20%. This is what a correlation coefficient of plus 1.0 means. Now, if the correlation coefficient is equal to 0, that means that there is no correlation between the two stocks. So this means that these stocks are uncorrelated. If you look at the scatter of points on a graph where the share prices of the two stocks are on the X and Y axes respectively, then you would find a random scatter all over the graph, thereby showing that there is no correlation or no trend in the graph. You cannot do a least squares fit for example, through the points and come up with a best fit line that passes through these points. Then if the correlation coefficient is equal to minus 1.0, what does this mean? It means that the two stocks are perfectly but negatively correlated. This means that if the price of stock A goes up by 50%, for example, then the price of stock B will go down by 50%, exactly in the opposite direction by the same amount. That is what a negative 1 correlation coefficient means. In fact, practically speaking, in most stock markets around the world, you find that on the average, any two stocks are correlated through a correlation coefficient of plus 0.6 approximately. This is just a very, very rough rule of thumb. And what this means is that the correlations are not perfect. The important thing you should remember regarding correlation coefficients is that if the correlation coefficient is plus 1.0, then it is not possible to reduce the risk through diversification. And if the correlation coefficient is minus 1.0, then it is possible to entirely eliminate the company-specific risk from the portfolio. These are the two important conclusions that you must remember. تو آئیے اب پورٹ فولیو رسک اور اسٹینڈرڈ ڈیویشن کو بہتر سمجھنے کے لیے ہم ایک نیومیریکل ایگزامپل دیکھتے ہیں. لیٹ اس ٹیک اے لک ایٹ دی ایگزامپل دیٹ وی بگین ٹاکنگ اباؤٹ ان دی پریویس لیکچر. دیٹ از دا کیس آف دی ٹو اسٹاک انویسٹمنٹ پورٹ فولیو. اسٹاک اے has an investment of 30 rupees and an expected return of 20% and a standard deviation or risk of 20%. Stock B has an investment of 70 rupees, an expected return of 10% and a risk or standard deviation of 5%. The total value of the portfolio is 100 rupees and the correlation coefficient or rho AB, the correlation between the two stocks, A and B, is equal to plus 0.6. So, if we calculate the portfolio risk, then sigma P is equal to the square root of XA squared sigma A squared plus XB squared sigma B squared plus 2 multiplied by XA XB sigma A sigma B rho AB. And that is equal to 8.57%. Similarly, the portfolio return for the two stock is RP star, which is equal to XARA plus XBRB, and that is equal to 13%. Now, the important thing is to be able to interpret the standard deviation and the expected return. What is the answer telling us? Well, what the answer is telling us is that if we assume a normal probability distribution for the possible outcomes, for the possible returns that we can expect after 1 year for these two stocks, A and B, then 68.26% of the times the actual return of the entire portfolio will lie somewhere between the minus 1 and the plus 1 standard deviation around the mean. What does this mean? This means that approximately 2 out of 3 times the actual rate of return of our portfolio after 1 year will be somewhere between 4.43% and 21.57%. How did we come up with these values of 4.43 and 21.57%. Quite simply, 4.43% is equal to the mean rate of return minus the standard deviation. In other words, that's equal to 13% minus 8.57%. And the value of 21.57% is equal to our mean rate of return, 13%, plus the standard deviation of 8.57%. So what the standard deviation value provides to us is, are the limits of the range for the likelihood of the expected rate of return on the portfolio. And specifically, what the first standard deviation range tells us is that 68.26% of the times, the actual answer for the portfolio rate of return after 1 year will be somewhere between these two values. You can also come up with a more accurate prediction about the actual value of the return on the portfolio after 1 year if you take a larger range for the standard deviation. So if you're talking about the range from minus 2 sigma to plus 2 sigma, in other words, the second standard deviations, then there is a greater likelihood that the actual rate of return of the portfolio will be somewhere in between the two standard deviation levels. The other important conclusion to come to is that if you look at our answer for the portfolio risk, which is 8.57%, then you will note that the portfolio risk lies somewhere between the risk of stock A and the risk of stock B. What was the risk or the standard deviation for stock A? It was 20%. What was the risk for stock B? That was 5%. So the portfolio risk of 8.57% lies between 5% and 20%. And this is for the case of a positive correlation coefficient of 0.6. Please keep in mind also that when we're talking about risk or standard deviation, we're talking about conceptually the spread or the distribution in the possible outcomes centered around the expected rate of return or the mean rate of return. So remember that the expected rate of return or the mean rate of return is the anchor point. It is the center around which the standard deviation is distributed and the possible outcomes are distributed, because we're assuming the normal bell-shaped model for the probability distribution. Now, you will recall that at the end of the previous lecture, we graphed the combinations of risk and return for different mixes of the portfolio. In other words, we changed the percentage of our investment in stock A and we plotted how the values of risk and return will change. And we came to the conclusion that there is a direct relationship between the portfolio risk and the portfolio return. And that was the case in which the correlation coefficient was plus 0.6. Now let's take a look at a case where the correlation coefficient is minus 0.6. In other words, a negative correlation coefficient. And let us calculate the risk of the portfolio for this case. And then let us also take a look at the graph of risk and return and see how it is similar or different from the graph that we came up with in the previous lecture for risk and return. So, for a two-stock investment portfolio, the data is as follows. stock A has an expected individual rate of return, RI, of 20%, and the individual risk or standard deviation of stock A is equal to 20% also. For stock B, the expected return is 10%, and the individual risk or standard deviation is equal to 5%. In this case, the correlation coefficient, or rho AB, is equal to minus 0.6. Now, let us take a look at how the risk and the return of this portfolio changes as you change the relative weight of investment in stock A. So, supposing that you invest all of your money in stock A, well, then the answer is very simple. The overall portfolio risk will be 20%, and the expected portfolio return will also be 20%. These values are identical to the values for stock A because you are only investing in stock A and you have only one stock in your portfolio. Next, let's take a look at the case where you invest 80% of the money in stock A and 20% in stock B. In this case, the portfolio risk is calculated to be 15%, and you can use the sigma P standard deviation formula to check this figure, and the expected portfolio return will be 18%, and you can calculate that because that is equal to 0.8 times 20% plus 0.2 times 10%. Similarly, you can calculate the risk and return values for other combinations, and then you can plot these values on a graph. So if we plot the values of the risk and return on a graph, then we can come up with a visual understanding of how risk and return change as you change the relative mix of your portfolio. The important point to note when you take a look at the slide that shows the graph of risk and return is how it is different from the graph that we got in the case of a positive correlation, which is what we looked at earlier. So let us take a look at this slide, which shows what the graph of risk and return looks like for the case of a correlation coefficient of minus 0.6. On the slide, you will see the graph entitled Efficient Portfolio Map, and it shows all the possible combinations for our two-stock portfolio if the negative correlation coefficient of rho AB, which is equal to minus 0.6, exists. On the y-axis, you will see the portfolio return RP star, and on the x-axis, you will see the portfolio risk sigma P. I have plotted each one of the values that we tabulated earlier, and if you draw a line through these points, you will see that it makes a hook-shaped curve. Our starting and ending points are stock B and stock A, and I'd like you to please take a look at stock A, the point that shows stock A, which is located at a risk level of 20% and a portfolio return of 20%. If you start at that point, stock A, that point represents 100% investment in stock A and 0% investment in stock B. In other words, in this portfolio, you are only holding one stock, and that is of company A. As you move to the left on the line, you will see the next point, which represents 80% investment in stock A and 20% investment in stock B. So we have slightly increased our investment in stock B, and we will continue to do so as we move left on this line. As we move to the left and as we increase the percentage of stock B in our portfolio, you will notice that the overall portfolio return is decreasing, and the portfolio return is decreasing as you move to the left on this line because you are diluting the high rate of return of stock A, which is 20%, with another stock, B, which has a lower rate of return of 10%. So as you add more and more of stock B to your portfolio, you will reduce the starting rate of return of your portfolio when it had only stock A. This rate of return continues to drop all the way as you move left along this hook-shaped curve, and you reach the final point, which is stock B. That represents 0% investment in stock A and 100% investment in stock B. And at this point, you've replaced all of your investment in stock A with the investment in stock B. So we notice that the portfolio return consistently and continuously keeps reducing as you move to the left along this line. However, take a look at what happens to the level of risk. And this is the interesting and important point to observe. Again, if you move starting from the point that represents stock A towards the left of this hook-shaped curve, you will notice that the values of the sigma P or risk are also decreasing. If you move from the point that represents stock A to the next point that represents 80% A, you will notice that the risk level drops from 20% to 15%. And it keeps dropping all the way until you reach the value of 3.4% risk. And this 3.4% risk comes about if you have a portfolio with 15% stock A and 85% stock B. But look what happens as you keep increasing the percentage of stock B in your portfolio. The level of portfolio risk begins to increase once again. In other words, it reverses after reaching a minimum point of 3.4%. That is why this is called the hook-shaped curve, because there is a certain point or a certain critical combination of the stocks in the portfolio after which the portfolio risk will reverse its direction. And this is a characteristic of the negative correlation coefficient. So let's try to better understand the concept of the portfolio. This portfolio that we've been talking about, or this collection of investments, can be found in the stock markets in Pakistan. For example, in the Karachi Stock Exchange, you will find mutual funds. And many of these mutual funds are stock mutual funds that have invested in various stocks in the Karachi, Islamabad, and Lahore Stock Exchange. Similarly, you can find NIT units or National Investment Trust units, and there are various NIT units, and the NIT has invested in various stocks in our stock markets. Similarly, there are ICP mutual funds, and there are many different kinds, and each one of these mutual funds is a separate portfolio with a different mix or combination of stocks. And finally, one measure of the performance of the stock market is the stock exchange index. And the Karachi Stock Exchange has an index called the KSE 100 index. And we will talk more about it in the following lecture. So you should be familiar with what a portfolio is. We mentioned that the efficient portfolio can be graphed on a risk and return graph, and we call that the efficient frontier map. And how do we know if a particular portfolio or a particular mutual fund or investment trust is efficient? Well, we can calculate what the theoretical values of the expected rate of return for that portfolio will be, and we can also calculate what the theoretical standard deviation or risk for that portfolio is going to be using the formulas that we just studied. And all we need to know to calculate this is what kind of stocks are in that portfolio and what the individual rate of returns and standard deviations of these stocks are. Then we can come up with an appropriate estimate of the correlation coefficient, and we can calculate the expected return and the expected risk of a portfolio. We mentioned also that since most professional and rational individuals and companies invest in a collection of different stocks and bonds, in other words, they don't just invest in one stock alone, but they invest in many stocks and bonds. And they do this so that they minimize their risk. We mentioned that the total risk of a stock has two components, the company-specific risk plus the market risk. And we mentioned that when an investor who has a portfolio of stocks decides to invest in one more stock or a new stock, then the only relevant contribution of risk by that new stock to the existing portfolio is the market risk. In other words, assuming that you have a fully diversified portfolio of 40 different stocks from different companies and industries, and then suppose that you want to invest in one more stock, then we need to take a look at what the incremental or marginal contribution of that new stock will be on the existing portfolio. But we already know that the existing portfolio is fully diversified, which means that the company-specific portion of the risk has been eliminated. And therefore, we do not need to worry about the company-specific portion of the risk for this new share that we are investing in. The only relevant contribution that this new share will have to the existing portfolio is the market portion of the risk that this new share brings into the portfolio. So our focus should be on the market risk, because that is the component of the risk that this new share will bring in to our portfolio. And for that reason, later on in the next lecture, we will study a very important measure which is known as beta, in order to study the impact of bringing in a new share into an existing portfolio. I have just explained numerically and graphically what the risk and return profile of a two-stock investment looks like for the case of a correlation coefficient of minus 0.6. And we mentioned that the curve looks like a hook-shaped curve. And we mentioned that the standard deviation or the portfolio risk reaches a minimum point. However, the portfolio rate of return is continuous, and depending on where you start, it is either rising or dropping continuously. However, this is not the case of the portfolio risk. So this particular hook-shaped curve represents a relation and not a function in mathematical terms. تو فی الحال ہماری توجہ ٹو اسٹاک پورٹفولیوز پہ رہی ہے. اس کے معنی یہ ہوئے کہ سرمایہ دو اسٹاکس میں ڈالا گیا ہے. تو اب ہم کو یہ سوال پوچھنا ہے کہ اگر ہم ایک تیسرے اسٹاک میں انویسٹ کرتے ہیں تو اس کا اثر موجودہ پورٹفولیو پہ کیا ہوگا. وی کین ٹیک اے لک ایٹ واٹ دی افیکٹ of a third stock on our existing two-stock portfolio will be in terms of its impact on the risk and the return. It's quite simple for you to calculate the expected return of the three-stock portfolio using an extension of the formula that we just talked about in this course. Quite simply, in this case, RP star for the three-stock portfolio will equal to XARA plus XBRB plus XCRC. And you can also calculate the standard deviation of the three-stock portfolio. And I will just explain to you in a minute how to calculate that, because it is slightly more difficult than calculating the standard deviation for a two-stock portfolio. But before we jump into the formulas and the numbers, let's try to visually understand what the impact of adding a third stock to our two-stock portfolio will be. So if you take a look at the slide that shows you the map of risk and return for a three-stock portfolio, then you will observe a few things. The efficient portfolio maps for the three-stock portfolio are shown on this graph, where the portfolio return RP star is on the y-axis and sigma P, the portfolio risk, is on the x-axis. You will notice that I have shown our old hook curve for the two-stock portfolio of stock A and B. That is the old efficient frontier that we were talking about a few minutes ago. However, if you add a third stock called stock C with a standard deviation of 40% and a expected rate of return of 30%, then you can plot that point as the third point on this graph. If you take a look at the graph, you will see that we can connect the point representing stock A to the point representing stock C using a similar hook-shaped curve. And then, since now we have three stocks, A, B, and C, our efficient frontier for the portfolio has changed because we have added a new stock. And that efficient frontier line can be seen as a large hook-shaped curve that connects stock B to stock C. In other words, this largest hook-shaped curve that you see on this diagram is the one that connects the stock with the lowest risk-return combination to that stock with the highest risk-return combination. This complete picture is also known as a parachute because it resembles the shape of a parachute. It is also sometimes called the broken shell pattern, because it looks like or resembles a broken eggshell. So you've just seen how adding a new stock changes the risk and return profile, and in fact it changes every combination of risk and return for your portfolio. And we came to this conclusion using the graphical technique of plotting risk and return. But the question is still unanswered about how we calculate the standard deviation or the risk of a three-stock portfolio. So let's ask ourselves how we can compute the standard deviation or portfolio risk for a three-stock portfolio. The approach that we use is known as a matrix approach. And the advantage of using this approach is that it is conceptually very powerful. It's powerful because you can apply the same concept to a portfolio of any size with any number of investments, whether there are 40 different stocks or 400 different stocks or 4,000 different stocks. You can extend the matrix to allow you to calculate the standard deviation for a portfolio of any size. And this matrix is well worth understanding, and it is quite a revelation and a realization, and it can be compared to the revelation that we saw Keanu Reeves going through in the movie called Matrix. This is a very powerful tool and technique, and I urge you to understand it. If you take a look at the slide, you can see how simply we can calculate the portfolio risk for a 3-stock portfolio. And you will also see how the answer for the formula for the 2-stock portfolio standard deviation is also buried inside this same matrix. So, taking a look at the slide, you'll see that the 3-stock portfolio risk formula can be derived using a 3-by-3 matrix approach. 3-by-3 matrix because you have 3 stocks, A, B, and C. I have tabulated the individual risk component terms one by one. And if you look at this 3-by-3 table or matrix, you will see that along the diagonal running from the top left-hand side to the bottom right-hand side, you will see the x squared, sigma squared terms. Those are the simplest terms in our standard deviation formula, and they represent the correlation of 1, because you are talking about the interaction of stock A with stock A. In the first box, you will see XA squared, sigma A squared. And so we are talking about the contribution of risk of stock A only to the portfolio. Similarly, the center box represents the contribution of stock B to the portfolio. And the last box at the bottom on the right-hand side represents the contribution of stock C to the portfolio in the form of XC squared, sigma C squared. But other than the pure contributions of these stocks, they also have a contribution of risk that they are making to the other stocks in the portfolio. So, if you take a look at stock A and read the top horizontal line in our table, you will see that after the first term, XA squared, sigma A squared, there are 2 other terms. The second term on the top line, reading horizontally, is the contribution of the risk of stock A to stock B. And that risk term is XA, XB, sigma A, sigma B, rho A, B. We saw this term in the formula for standard deviation for the 2-stock portfolio. The final term on the top line is the contribution of stock A to stock C. And that term is represented with XA, XC, sigma A, sigma C, and rho A, C. And these terms are multiplied to each other. So this table gives you an idea of what the contribution of risk of a stock to itself and to the other stocks in the portfolio is. So if you take a look at this matrix for calculating the standard deviation of a 3-stock portfolio, calculating the actual value of the standard deviation is a very straightforward exercise. You simply add up each one of the terms in those boxes. There are 9 terms and they need to be added up. And once you add them up, you will come up with the answer for the standard deviation of the 3-stock portfolio. Also note that each term inside each one of those boxes has different variables, X and sigma and rho, and they're all multiplied with each other. The advantage and the power of this approach is that it can be extended to a portfolio of any size. And if you have, for example, a portfolio of 4 stocks, A, B, C, and D, then you can extend this to a 4-by-4 matrix and use the same logic for calculating the terms that fall inside each box. You will also note that inside this 3-by-3 matrix, if you just look at the 2-by-2 portion of this matrix for stocks A and B, that you will find the four terms that once added up will give you the same answer as that which we calculated for the risk of a two-stock portfolio. Please keep in mind that using the matrix approach, if you add up all of the terms, then you will come up with the variance of the portfolio. And in order to calculate the exact standard deviation, you simply need to take the square root of the variance. In other words, you take the square root of all of the different terms inside those boxes added up. With this, I will close the new material for this particular lecture, and I would like to review some of the concepts that we have spoken about. We closed the material for this lecture by going over the matrix approach to calculating the portfolio risk. In the matrix approach, we set up a simple matrix whose dimensions are n by n, where n represents the number of stocks in the portfolio. And there is a very simple logic that you can apply to the portfolio of any size. Please keep in mind, this matrix approach clarifies a very important concept, which is that when you add a new share or stock to an existing portfolio, then the risk that that stock brings with it is the market risk, and that market risk affects that stock itself, and it also affects the risks of the other stocks in the portfolio. So that is why you have these covariance terms in the matrix. Other than the diagonal terms, the other terms carry a covariance or a correlation coefficient between two different stocks. So the point to remember is that adding a new stock to an existing portfolio that is fully diversified, for example, if your portfolio already has 40 different shares and is fully diversified, then adding a new share will not add in any way to the company-specific risk, because that has been eliminated. The only contribution of the new share will be to the market risk. With this, I close this particular lecture, which was on the portfolio theory, calculating the risk and return for two-stock portfolios, and extending the concept to three-stock portfolios using the efficient frontier and efficient portfolio maps. I thank you very much for your kind attention and patience. Aapko Ministry of Science and Technology Pakistan, Virtual University aur Mubashir Humayun ki taraf se bahut bahut shukriya. Khuda hafiz aur assalamu alaikum.